The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you close to the person that you want to be? Are you ready to know more, create more, live more, and love more? Welcome to Core to Grace, the Heart of Grace, with your host, Maria Rodriguez. We hope to inspire you, and by doing so, transform you for the good of all that is. Now, here is your host, Maria Rodriguez.
Hello, welcome to Core to Grace. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Maria Rodriguez, and I thought I'd start today's show with a realization I made last year that as I and those around me, clients and friends alike, have evolved spiritually, the magical and mystical happenings like those I began sharing in last week's show have evolved accordingly. They've become richer and more complex, with all kinds of themes woven throughout and a large number of players involved. And they're actually a series of interconnected stories, but they're so interconnected, they become harder to share as separate stories. It's as if the synthesis that I referred to last week, the process of combining disparate pieces into an arresting new whole, is insisting on happening. And I had not realized the amount of space that was being taken up inside of me by my holding these greater stories until I followed this one piece of guidance I had received, that the key was in my notes. The key was in my notes. Subsequently, I began reserving Wednesdays to gather my disparate notes and write up these incredible stories. Maybe I'll share some of them on the air someday. One such Wednesday, I wrote for hours, and whereas these stories once could be expressed in maybe 2 to 4 paragraphs, the newer ones were taking up to 16 pages. I had finished one of these called the Money Clip Story and finally left my office to run some errands. I was out of shampoo, so I was driving to Ulta, this beauty supply store, when I began receiving or downloading, as some call it, an unusual piece of writing. And then I heard, through my inner ear that is, that it was a treatise. A treatise. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't even really know what a treatise is. I had a vague recollection from poli-sci class years and years ago. And yet this piece of writing did have a different voice and energy than anything I'd written before, and it was pouring in so fast, I don't even know how I made it to the Ulta parking lot. So relieved to sit there typing it all up on my handy iPhone, and write and write and write I did. Wow, I realized later that writing up that long, mystical, magical story earlier had actually created space for these new kinds of things to come in. When Core to Grace was coming together, I saw that this treatise was an integral part of the overall purpose of Core to Grace. And just last week, I saw how unintentionally I'd begun to share in some kind of systematic way on this radio show the three parts of the Core to Grace mission: the foundation of breaking our toxic shame cycles, our personal and relational ones, the pathway of leading a spirit-driven life, and the purpose of rising to a higher consciousness individually and collectively, affecting every aspect of our lives and our world. So today I'll be reading excerpts from this treatise, and then I'll be pausing with commentary sprinkled throughout. I haven't yet fully understood why this piece came with a name at all, much less this name, a treatise, but my sense so far is that it is written in such a way so as to inspire contemplation and consideration. And although the treatise puts forth clear directions and steps within, to me, it's like it seems to be mostly about penetrating our automatic pilots, encouraging us to pause and consider more deeply. Let's see what you think. Here it is. From Barriers to Bridges, a Treatise. From barriers to bridges, from impasses to inroads, whether it's our relationships, our habits, our businesses, or our government, barriers are dissolving, making way for bridges to be built where barriers once stood. Bridges appearing in the most surprising places. bridges between two parts within us that have pulled us in opposite direction for decades, succeeding in keeping us stuck in place. I want freedom and I want security. I love you and I hate you. I'm good and I'm bad. The world sucks, the world wipes, I'm hot, I'm not. Bridges between two souls that have lived the great divide, between two peoples that have hated and have killed. Bridges between money and soul, between the me and the we. Bridges between truth and love. Bridges of compassion and creativity, the two most needed elements on the planet, the ones that we, that you and I and they all need. Compassion and creativity, the most potent portents of our times. We must begin with compassion, hold on, it's not what you think, and it is what you think. First, let me explain. We cannot even bring compassion to that which we cannot feel and do not understand, and we cannot feel and understand that which we cannot see or hear. So we must first look very closely and listen really well. And yet this we cannot do within our old agree-disagree paradigm, a paradigm that in its very nature misses the other hand, misses an entire half, misses a whole 50% of the picture of the story of what matters of ourselves, a paradigm that always asks, which side are you on, the side of the right or the left, of the administration or the employees, of the husband or the wife, of the us or the them, of the good guys or the bad guys. Consider this. I was having a quick chat, catching up with an acquaintance. He was explaining that the offices where he works are moving because the company isn't doing well. In his explanation, he says, Obama is not good for higher education. He goes on to explain that all the cuts in financial aid are decreasing attendance. I was immediately struck by something. I wasn't quite sure what. And then I realized it wasn't what was being said. It was the part that was missing. In this case, the pressure and criticism that Obama himself has also received for the very opposite, for not reducing government spending enough. We can only look very closely and listen really well by stepping into the world of 360 degrees, into the 360 degree paradigm, into the world of the whole picture, into the world of the full story, into the world of the 100%, into the space of the in-between. Consider this. Soon after the election, after listening to some folks who voted the same as he did voice their reactions, my husband says to me, funny, you and I, who actually vote for opposing teams, are far closer than I am to many of those in my own party. Then and only then, because of moving into alignment with truth, with the clarity that comes from truth, we now move out of our many misalignments in attitudes, jobs, perceptions, relationships, systems, and on it goes. Then and only then can we move into all kinds of states of being, qualities of being, that draws personally and collectively to higher ground, that truly bless all that is. Consider this. A 360-degree perspective expands, whereas an agree-disagree perspective narrows. The 360-degree, firm and flexible, whereas the agree-disagree one is rigid or collapsed. The 360-degree paradigm opens up rather than closes off, involves facing in and out, facing up and down, rather than facing off or on. It unites rather than divides. It's us and them, me and you, rather than us versus them or me versus you. It's differentiated rather than symbiotic. The 360-degree paradigm is harmonious with dialogue and synergistic flow rather than oppositional with power struggle and debate. It is ruled by the sacred quandary rather than by conflicts and impasses. It ponders and considers rather than avoids and ignores, spells it out and checks it out rather than assumes and concludes, and it co-discerns and co-creates rather than accepts or rejects. The 360-degree paradigm is black and white and all shades of gray and of colors in between, rather than just black or white. It is both and rather than either or. It enhances the center of the circle or group and the space between us, rather than collapses that center and the between us space. It progresses, exits in a new place, rather than stagnates, exiting in the same place. multidimensional, seeing also the level of mirror, microcosm, and metaphor, rather than one-dimensional, seeing only the level of fact, suspicion, interpretation, or projection. It is centered, clear, confident, compassionate, rather than judgmental, defensive, tense, or resigned. It's undisguised and undefended, rather than disguised and defended. It is of empowered humility, rather than arrogance and aggression. It is of respect, regard, and assertiveness, rather than self-doubt and passivity. It's willing and present, as opposed to avoidant and passive resistant. And finally, it's the big T truth with all of the many small T truths within, rather than one small T truth or a cluster of them only. So let's take a break from the treatise here. There's a lot to contemplate and consider, even for me. What I just read is actually a chart of the 360-degree paradigm standing side by side with the agree-disagree paradigm, helping us make clear distinctions between the two, enhancing our ability to then shift from the one to the other to move from barriers to bridges. The role that was singing for me as I was preparing for the show was the distinction presented through the 360 perspective progressing us, whereas the agree-disagree one stagnates us. And what came up for me was that when we're coming from that 360-degree one, when we're exposed to more information, the information progresses us. We exit in a new place from where we entered, whereas when we're coming from the more standard agree-disagree perspective, no matter what is presented, we remain stagnated. We exit in the same place we were before the new information came in, or rather the new information, unless it mirrors what we already believe, doesn't even come in. It's almost as if it never happened. I found that this is one of the most telling signs of where we're truly coming from, the 360-degree way or the other way. And by the way, I'm not saying we're supposed to abandon what we knew or sway to the latest. Rather, it's about adding it all rather than rejecting or replacing any, and adding it all to the same pot, allowing these seemingly contradictory pieces to share space in the same pot. I was doing a workshop on spiritual partnership a couple years ago, and ever since I discovered the power of a circle, I've conducted most of my workshops in a circle format. So I co-create a circle with the attendees by arranging the chairs as such when possible, and by establishing all of the elements of a circle. The safety, the slower pace, the way of expressing what's coming up for us. I had about 25 to 30 people, men and women, and about half of them were couples. And one of the men shared that what was coming up for him was that I really needed to change the language I was using, primarily to stop using the word spirit, since he has a problem with this word, and that this was a mistake I was making. And it turns out that the man sitting right next to him on the right felt just as adamantly that it is all about spirit and nothing else matters. Well, that was fun. To me, both were coming from an agree-disagree perspective, which is understandable given that this tends to still be more of our norm. Because of that, in the space of a minute, the circle-style sharing of what's coming up for me morphed into a heated debate, neither looking or listening to the other, much less looking very closely and listening really well, as we heard in the treatise. I let it go on for a while and then said, so let's pay attention to what just happened here. And we're going to be pausing for our first break of the day in just a minute or so. When this treatise came to me last December, if you were to tell me that I would be reading it out loud on a worldwide radio network, I would be laughing. And so I'm just still in awe as I just began reading the treatise, introducing you to this, that's exactly what's happening only 7 months later. So we're going to pause for the break of the day, and you're listening to Court of Grace. Don't go away. We'll be right back for more on this treatise, From Barriers to Bridges, and more of this 360-degree way.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment, willing to stand out from the crowd, being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow? You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things. And together, you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Thank you for tuning back to Coeur de Grace. I'm Maria Rodriguez here today sharing a treatise of all things that I wrote last December. Right before the break, I had paused the treatise to explore one of the lines on the chart distinguishing the 360-degree perspective with the more common agree-disagree one. Sharing a story of an incident that happened in one of my workshops, a heated debate between two of the guys that were participating in the workshop. And so I said to the group of that workshop, let's pay attention to what just happened here. My sense is that this is familiar to all of us. Just flip through TV channels and we'll inevitably find people having just such an exchange. We also can find these types of exchanges in our marriages, our families, our workplaces, even from what I've heard, PTA meetings. We begin expressing opinions, things we've usually said many times before, usually nothing we haven't already known, and this debating and rebutting exchange only serves to dig us further into this stance. We exit in the same exact place we were when we entered the exchange. And then I said, well, there's another way, actually. There's this circle way, this 360-degree perspective way, where we listen, take something in, literally breathe it in, allowing it to settle and to join with the rest of what's already there, and then we pay attention to what comes up for us in this moment and in all aspects of our being, mind, body, heart, and spirit. Paying close attention to our physical sensations, our emotions, our images, energy sensations. And this is what we share. Rather than sharing our immediate reaction, our opinions, which is usually just what was already stored in our minds, things we've usually said many times before, the stuff we can access right away because it's on the surface. What tends to happen when we try the circle way, this 360-degree perspective way, when we learn to tolerate the tension of the opposites, as I believe the psychoanalyst Carl Jung describes it, when we embrace rather than avoid or reject contradiction, is that we literally rise and dive. We rise to a higher consciousness where we can see far more and far clearer, and we dive far deeper, getting to know ourselves more intimately, where we heal, where our wisdom grows, where we move forward in our development. As I was closing that workshop, one man who was attending with his wife of almost 50 years shared that he was just rendered speechless by this experience, which made me a little nervous when he first started talking. But he continued to say that he was seeing and hearing his wife expressing herself in this way and was feeling he was getting to know her more through the circle process than in their 50 years. And then gazing at his wife with awe and wonder and a renewed love, he continued sharing how stunned he was that with all of the hours they've been together over the years, but especially since they've both been retired, that this hour and a half had showed him so many new things he had not known about her. Well, I can tell you that had to be one of the most touching moments I've experienced in the context of workshops. A heartwarming experience that illustrates this movement from barriers to bridges, and in this case, such a subtle barrier, no one even knew it was there. So let's continue now with more of the treatise, From Barriers to Bridges. We often mistake compassion with accepting and tolerating that which is unacceptable and intolerable. We mistake compassion with enabling and prolonging that which is misaligned. In reality, it is the clarity that only comes from compassionate eyes, bringing regard and value to all that is, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything in between, that leads us to the whole picture and through that into divine alignment. When in reality, compassion is what avoids, ignores, minimizes, maximizes, and distorts nothing. When in reality, compassion is what misses nothing. And for you accountability nuts, compassion holds everything and everyone accountable. Yes, accountable. The eyes of the heart see everything. So let me pause right here again in the very midst of this compassion section. I don't know how many of you have been in the presence of someone who practices compassion meditation or have practiced it yourself. One of my biggest surprises was that it doesn't banish suffering, it takes it in. It doesn't avoid pain, it takes it in. And the other surprise for me was that those who are the deepest practitioners seem also to have the keenest sight. I'll never forget meeting Mana, who's a yogi, healer, and visionary out of Hawaii. And during my session, he would ask me a question, and when I would not respond with the true answer, he would just repeat the question without blinking an eye, as if I hadn't even responded. It was a little strange, but it was very powerful. Those two times when I didn't get the true answer the first time were the two things I needed to see and know and address the most at that time in my life. Compassion, it would seem, leads to keener sight and greater wisdom. It just seems to clear away so many distractions that we have. Mana does not spare any words. His few words are the ones most needed. And you can find more on Mana at www.sacredforms.com. So I thought we'd do a brief compassion meditation to help us all get a visceral feel for compassion right now in the middle of this compassion section of the treatise. And just try this later if now is not possible for you. Let's begin with focusing on the reality that we all experience suffering. We're going to be envisioning the suffering as a black cloud over each of our heads throughout. We're going to be breathing in each black cloud all the way into our hearts, where the black cloud will ignite and turn into a burst of light, which we will then exhale onto whoever we're envisioning. So here we go. Closing your eyes or leaving them slightly open, start by settling your body and your breath. And then think of someone you care about already. Perhaps she or he has been good to you or inspiring to you. You can visualize this person, say their name to yourself, get a feeling for their presence, and then notice the black cloud of suffering over their head, the one we all have. Breathe it all the way into your heart. Watch as it bursts into a bright light, and then exhale that light onto them and silently offer this phrase of compassion. May you be free of pain and sorrow. May you be well and happy. And now shift your attention inward, seeing yourself, saying your name, noticing the black cloud over your head, breathing it into your heart, watching it burst into light, and exhaling that light onto yourself and say, may I be free of pain and sorrow. May I be well and happy. Now moving on to someone you find difficult. Get a feeling for the person's presence, say their name, notice their black cloud of suffering, breathe it all the way in into your heart, watch as it bursts into light, exhale that bright light onto them and say, may you be free of pain and sorrow, may you be well and happy. And now shift to someone you've barely met, your mail carrier, a cashier at your grocery store. Even without knowing his or her name, you can get a sense of that person, perhaps an image, and notice the cloud, breathe it in, watch it burst, exhale the light onto them and say, may you be free of pain and sorrow, may you be well and happy. And now getting a sense of our country, our world, our planet, and beyond, to all of the people everywhere, to all forms of life, to everything, without limit, without exception. Notice the black cloud of suffering above it all, and breathe it into your heart, watch as it bursts, and exhale that bright light over our country, our planet, and beyond, and say, may all beings be free of pain and sorrow. May all be well and happy. So we just did a compassion meditation. And just notice what you're feeling or beginning to feel. That is the energy of compassion. The eyes of the heart see everything. So let's return to the treatise From Barriers to Bridges. Consider this. Remember a time when you saw someone express what they thought was compassion for another, and it was clear that they were in denial about the other person, that they were not seeing all of the truth about the other person? Remember the feeling in your body, probably tense and uneasy, right? Now imagine that same scene, but this time they are seeing the gist of everything, denying and excusing nothing, doing whatever it is that needs to be done, and yet at the same time blessing the other person with light and love and goodwill. They are now actually seeing way beyond the eyes of sympathy or of judgment. They are standing within boundaries that are the perfect match for all that is, and yet at the same time blessing the other person with light and love and goodwill. Now what is the feeling in your body? Can you feel it? The sense of peace, the sense of rightness and of goodness, the sense of safety, the sense of being beautifully grounded and beautifully centered, the sense of being at ease. That is the state of compassion. This is the energy of clarity within compassion. The truth is not a matter of opinions. The truth is not a matter of opinions. The truth is not a matter of opinions. It is what is. It holds everyone and everything at once. It cannot be moved. It can only be discovered. It can only be discovered by those who now hear the call and who now have the courage to do so. When the truth is what we're tapping into, we all tap into the same thing. The same thing. Can you even believe it? Can you dare to believe it? One by one and two by two and 100 by 100, we are hearing that call and stepping into that courage. It may already be you. It may be about to be you. So now I'm going to repeat this last piece because for me this has been the hugest, the most stunning paradigm shift in this treatise. My mind is still struggling to wrap itself around this one, and it can be missed in between all the rest. So here it is again. The sense of peace, the sense of rightness and of goodness, the sense of safety, the sense of being beautifully grounded and beautifully centered, the sense of being at ease. That is the state of compassion. This is the energy of clarity within compassion. The truth is not a matter of opinions. The truth is not a matter of opinions. The truth is not a matter of opinions. It is what is. It holds everyone and everything at once. It cannot be moved. It can only be discovered. It can only be discovered by those who now hear the call and who now have the courage to do so. When the truth is what we're tapping into, we all tap into the same thing. The same thing. Can you even believe it? Can you dare to believe it? One by one and two by two and 100 by 100, we are hearing that call and stepping into that courage. It may already be you. It may be about to be you. This just blows my mind. Didn't I tell you that for me, this treatise is most about penetrating our automatic pilot to inspiring us to contemplate and consider, to pause and consider more deeply, to inspire that pilgrim change of mind and change of heart from the John O'Donohue quote I shared in the opening show. Can you even imagine yourself aligning with this, our families and workplaces and governments operating from this paradigm? I just can't even stretch that far yet, that wide and long yet, but I can feel it working me, and I hope that you can feel it too. So with that, we're going to be taking our second break of the day. I'll see you after the break. This is Maria with Court of Grace.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show. With Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Want the inside scoop about what's going on in the social networks of art and entertainment? Tune in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. We'll talk to the top professionals in the entertainment industry and find out what they're working on and what's next. Your host is James Barber, who has his finger on the pulse of the arts and entertainment world. Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Thank you for tuning it into Coeur de Grace. This is Maria Rodriguez, and I really had no idea the effect that sharing this treatise was going to have. I'm so aware that I'm shaking a bit, and I don't even know how to describe what I'm feeling, but I'm aware that so much of this can be misunderstood, and I'm hoping that it isn't, and I am so honored to be sharing this with all of you, and so hopeful about the infinite possibilities opening up, the many bridges that can be built where barriers once stood. And I think the second huge paradigm shift about the truth versus opinions, about tapping into the same thing, is so huge. It's so, like, it takes my breath away, literally. So let's now continue with the treatise, because there's actually more. So here we go. There are many bridges that cross us over into this much-needed paradigm, the bridges that have been around forever and the newer ones springing up all over the place. For some, it's the bridge of meditation, of church, of therapy, of retreats. For others, it's being out on the golf course on a day when it's okay no matter how we golf. Children and animals and nature have a way of bringing us here. The stories and the storytellers can bring us here too. The artist, the musician, the writers, the world of science and its infinite nature. Consider this. Simply pause, 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 for that pause alone is golden. Simply pause whenever you're off and running about anything or anyone, including yourself, maybe especially yourself, and ask, where is the other hand? Where, oh, where is the other hand? For even if you cannot yet see within your blind spot what is out of your experience, this other hand, for even if you cannot yet feel it or hear it or touch it or know it, just moving on over to this new center as you make room for this missing half, this missing hand, just moving on over into the space that lives in between the two hands, brings you into the perfect spot, the sweet spot, the one that we're all desperate for. For we no longer need to see and hear and understand and feel and know, thank you, God. This bridge brings us right to that sweet spot with the question alone. Where is the other hand? No need for the answer, for we have already been shifted and transported. Shifted and transported. And then we can step right into the world of creativity. So let's pause here before we get into that whole creativity part and go back to the missing hand, because that's a big thing. The missing hand. I found that whenever we have strong opinions and heated debates, you can look for this missing hand issue. And even when we say, let's just agree to disagree, You can look for this missing hand issue, usually on both sides, with each side holding only one hand rather than two. And most of us were physically given not one hand but two, so we have a handy reminder, which is not a pun, an intended pun really, with our two hands. A power practice many have loved is simply filling in the blanks on the one hand blank and on the other hand blank. Often one hand is clear to us and the other hand is fuzzy, harder both for us to see and to accept, really. So go ahead, even if you don't yet know what's in the other hand, remember that just in seeing that there's more to the picture, just in asking the question of what's in the other hand, shifts us to that center of the 360-degree whole picture and opens us up to a far more accurate, I found, and complete perspective, leading to those inroads where impasses once existed. And one of the best ways I found to illustrate this is actually kind of fun, is in a room like my office where there are two chairs facing one another, and it becomes very clear that we each have an ability to see only half the room when we're sitting there, only 180 degrees of the full 360. We can get into a debate of what's in the room. Look, there's a bookcase with books and two angels. No, there's not. There's a sofa table with a vase. No, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no sofa table. There's a bookcase and an end table with a clock on the wall. No, and we can go on and on and on. The reason we don't tend to get into such debates is because we know, in these cases, we know that we cannot see what is behind us. And when someone points out that there may be more to the whole picture than what's within our view, we turn to see what it is they're seeing that we're not. We realize that we can only see 180 degrees until we turn around to see the rest. Unfortunately, as you know, in certain areas of our lives and with certain issues especially, we can believe that we are seeing the whole picture when what's true is much closer to this image of sitting in a room face to face, only seeing about half of it. As we become adamant that the half we're seeing is the whole picture, we're likely to get into such a debate with those that hold the other hand, with those that can see the other half and believe the same, that they're seeing the whole picture. Just look at what happens between our political parties again and again and again and again. When my sister and I sat at the hospital with our families processing the news we had just received of the severity of my mother's condition and facing that dreadful decision of what to do about her life support, my sister, in the space of about 20 minutes, laid out for us all of the hands involved. She said, there's this, and there's this, and on the other hand, there's this. And after she exhausted her, in hindsight, quite impressive journey 360 degrees around, it became clear to us that there were few hands pulling in the direction of prolonging our mom's life, and the main one being that we were just not ready to let her go. Not only was this dreadful decision not quite as challenging for us as it is for families where there's an almost equal cluster of hands pulling in opposite directions, it was also not as challenging because my sister and I and our families, quite fortunately, were looking at it from this 360-degree perspective. Most agree that the worst is when families become stuck in that agree-disagree paradigm, truly believe that the 180 degrees they're fighting for is the whole picture. And things can get pretty ugly and even remain ugly for generations to come. It's unbelievable. As the treatise declares, the beauty is that we don't have to be able to see the whole picture. We just need to know that just like in that room with the chairs face to face, we can't see what is behind our backs, and so we must rely on others who can see that perspective. The truth cannot be moved. It can only be discovered. Now, let's return to the treatise and to that second element, creativity. Here it is. Yes, creativity. You've heard of creative problem solving of the real kind, the kind that is not distracted and detoured and delayed by anything, the kind that doesn't go around and around in circles, the kind that is not closed to anything, the kind that flows around everywhere in the circle around the 360 degrees, not moving from the center of it all where balance lives. For that is where the source of infinite creativity lies, where the seemingly unsolvable is resolved, dissolved, where amazing and miraculous ideas are birthed and brought into fruition, where we draw and erase and contemplate and repeat, where we collaborate and cooperate, where we face the truths, the easier ones and the harder ones, the clear ones and the confusing ones, the harmonious ones and the conflicting ones, the uplifting ones and the heartbreaking ones. All together in one place, no one is unwelcome here, for here is all that is. Consider this. A client comes to see me after years of other therapy. She has been torn between two men, going around and around and around, and going nowhere. I gently tell her if the answer lied there, she would have found it long ago. As we shifted into this 360-degree paradigm and into the living waters that reside therein, we were led to places in her life story, into the underground world of her psyche, even into the spaces beyond this lifetime, adding many new ingredients to what she already knew was there, creating a brand new recipe of what is truly there, blending it together, becoming centered within it, creating a fuller and truer picture that for the very first time allows her, frees her, guides her right into alignment. And as we are aligned, we bring that energy of alignment to all we touch. It truly is the Midas touch. Alleluia. This client at various times said to me things like, "You are a genius. You are a miracle worker." Each time I smiled, each time I gave a silent bow of gratitude for all of what and all of whom have led me before I came to lead her and others to the center of this holy paradigm where the genius of truth lies and where miracles do occur, how right she is. And maybe she too will become an ambassador, a humble advocate of all of this. With compassion and through creativity, we are brought to the very edge of alignment. Let us end this treatise with this. Consider this. I'm sitting with a client, and next thing I know, I'm standing up, relaying a message in a booming voice coming from God knows where. Align, align, align. For even the smallest of misalignments has the greatest of effects. I sit down, both of us stunned at the power of these words, at the might of this message, becoming even more stunned as it more fully sinks in. Alignment, full being alignment, full worldly alignment is one of the many golden treasures that we will find, one of the many things that become possible as we shift into compassion and creativity. It is what the bridges are made of, and yet we are only brought to the edge of alignment through compassion and creativity. We must choose to align, and then align, and then align some more. With every step, with every new alignment, the bridges become longer and stronger, stronger and longer. From barriers to bridges, from impasses to inroads, from misalignment to alignment. A Treatise by Maria A. Rodriguez. So there it is. There's my treatise. Whenever I reread it, as I was trying to express earlier, and I certainly didn't expect it since I've been looking at it this week, I feel its impact in my body. I'm left with, I don't know if it's a sense of unease. I don't know if it's about the part of me that's finds it hard to live in this way, or I'm not sure what it is. And yet I'm left inspired, deeply inspired, guided, and assisted. I can feel the presence of that, you know, the loving and wondrous ally that we can all tap into that Tama Keeves talks about, the quote I read on last week's show. That's the presence that I can feel much more strongly. I hope you can feel it too. And I would love to hear what comes up for you. I would love to hear about your impressions and your contemplations. And you can email me or post on my Facebook page, Maria Rodriguez at Cours de Grace, CourdeGrace. We'll be taking our last break now and returning for that last segment and review of today's show in a few minutes.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Wealth Solutions for the 99% is a weekly talk show focused on helping you develop and execute a game plan to build wealth. Your host, Paul LaJoy, who built a $50 million-plus company in less than 5 years, believes it's impossible to be poor in America, and he'll show you why with his innovative strategies. Joining Paul as co-host is radio personality Kim Reed, an experienced entrepreneur and corporate leader who's known as the Corporatepreneur. The show is upbeat, fun, and informative. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
This is Core de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coredegrace.com. That's maria@coredegrace.com. Now, back to Core de Grace.
I'm Maria here on Voice America's Empowerment Channel, enjoying sharing with all of you From Barriers to Bridges, a treatise, trusting that this will hopefully and truly serve in an empowering way. I hope to have the treatise available in booklet form later this year, along with products artfully expressing the power phrases contained therein. And during the break, I actually realized that part of what I'm feeling as experiencing as I'm sharing this with you today that's surprising me is that I think something new is trying to come through. It's the feeling that I get when there's like a spiritual energy around me when something new is trying to come through. And of course, I don't have the luxury of being silent and receiving that right now, but I will certainly share with you what that is when I know. So before we move on to the last segment of our radio show, and that's where we review the power phrases, the practices, and paradigm shifts, I wanted to spend a little bit more time on that alignment piece, which is where the treatise leaves us, and that feels very purposeful to me. This past year, I've come to have a far greater respect for this word that was really not a word I used that often before then, and I've had a far greater understanding of what it means and feel like it's continuing to unfold, especially after that wild experience with my client, with that align that came with such force and insistence. And it was definitely a call to action, and a call to action for now, by the way, not later. It was like, align now. It was that kind of thing. And for me, alignment has come to be a lot about congruency. And so I looked that up in Webster's, and here's what it says about congruency. It says that congruency is being in agreement, harmony, or correspondence. It is conforming to and being appropriate for the circumstances or requirements of a certain situation, and it is marked or enhanced by harmonious agreement among constituent elements. And so aligning can be seen, as I was thinking about this, as the act of becoming congruent, like the action we take to become congruent with all kinds of things within us and outside of us. And the areas that have been most active for me this past year have been becoming congruent with truth and becoming congruent with my path and my soul. And so, for example, I've been guided to make changes to certain relationships that were not in alignment because I was avoiding and minimizing the truth of some unbudgeable shadow aspects of the other and their impact on me. And when I followed that align guidance and distanced myself, bringing in line the degree of the relationship with those truths, despite how difficult it was, I could immediately feel this fresh air flowing once again, where I hadn't even realized it had been plugged up from the misalignment. It was very strange. And then conversely, I've been nudged to contemplate and consider new business partnerships with friends, which is not something that I've ever done. And that sense is that until I move into these more, I'll not be fully aligned. And I've been amazed that just in taking some initial steps with these, I can feel that increased flow of energy. It actually literally felt when I did that a couple weeks ago, like fresh air blowing in from a door that's just been opened that I didn't even know was closed. And this nudge to move into alignment has also been very present with all kinds of decisions about this show, Court of Grace. It's as if the more aligned I've become, the more sensitive I've become to being misaligned. And for example, I had a strong sense that everything for Court of Grace was to be done in these jewel tone colors. And I think it's about that the bite-sized pieces of wisdom are like jewels, gems, or diamonds like the one you see on the show's banner. And it wasn't until all non-jewel tone colors were removed from the banner that I could feel that flow of alignment. I kept on saying that all of the samples I was being shown were beautiful. They were. They just weren't right for me for Court of Grace. They weren't in alignment. And so alignment, congruency, and flow have synthesized, becoming a conscious intention and priority at this time in my life. And the greater my alignment and congruency, the greater the flow. And boy, does that flow feel great. I can feel the energy and the power of infinite possibilities growing stronger with each alignment, no matter how small it is. That's been, to me, the most surprising part, that even the small ones, like that message said, have the greatest of effects. And so this call to action, this call to move more and more and more into alignment in all ways, surely feels universal. I am seeing it everywhere and feeling it happening with most of the people around me too, like buying the right home, selling the misaligned ones, creating new businesses, even correcting self-perceptions, getting rid of old stuff, leaving jobs, facing truth, getting things done, changing relationships, and on and on and on it goes. I cannot wait to see all of what becomes possible from these corrections, from these moves into alignment, and through that into flow. And now it's time to the last segment of our Court of Grace show, where we review the power pieces so as to move beyond inspiration and to our individual and collective transformation, which, by the way, will be the topic of next week's show, transformation. We begin, of course, with the power phrase of the title, From Barriers to Bridges, closely followed by From Impasses to Inroads. So From Barriers to Bridges, From Impasses to Inroads. Remember to breathe these in, noticing what comes up for you personally when you do so. From barriers to bridges, from impasses to inroads. And I only realized after I said it here today that contemplation and consideration also has the energy of a power phrase, and that power practice energy too. Contemplation and consideration. And then we have compassion and creativity, the most potent portents of our times. Compassion and creativity, wow, there's such simplicity and complexity existing within each of those words, isn't it? It's when I breathe this phrase in, for me, I feel such a balance of being and doing. And then when I say those words, I can't help but be brought to Martha Beck and her so-called religion, doobie 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 doo. She is so funny. Do and then be and then do some more and then remember to be. If you don't know Martha Beck, you'll have to get to know her, look her up. And now we have looking very closely, listening really well, a power phrase and power practice all in one, and one that really speaks to me, the eyes of the heart see everything. And now we have a series of other power phrase, power practice combos, which I really like. They're like nouns and verbs, you know, like action and destinations all in one. So there's where's the other hand, asking that question. Simply pause, 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 for that pause alone is golden. Spell it out, check it out, or rather spell it out, spell it out, spell it out, check it out, check it out, check it out. And we'll be revisiting this one during a future show I'll be doing on Clean, Clear, and Complete, which is about healthy communication. And another power phrase that emerged from my commentary today, rather than from the treatise, is in this moment, in all aspects, in this moment, in all aspects. And it was when I was talking about that incident where the two men got into it at my workshop, And I was teaching about the new way, the circle 360 way of listening and then expressing what comes up in this moment and in all aspects of our being, that body, mind, heart, and spirit. And those words had that powerful energy to me. And it's guiding for me, if I apply it, to remember to be more in this moment and in all aspects of my being, which, by the way, that body, mind, heart, and spirit comes from the Hoffman Institute, and they refer to this as our quadrinity, which is a wonderful concept that I use all the time. And then there's shifted and transported, shifted and transported, being shifted and transported. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. Until next time, with the grace of truth and the joy of love, this is Maria Rodriguez at Court of Grace.
Thank you for inviting Maria into your life this week. Please join us for another edition of Court de Grace next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll continue your transformation one program at a time.